reading to you from 1 Corinthians and with the 18th verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Now, listen, I want you to be sure and pray for Bill Adelung. I will be down at the Denver Rescue Mission the first Tuesday of next month. And the first Sunday of next month, the New Grace Quartet and my wife will have 3 services down at the Jefferson County Prison. And I want to welcome all the listeners from the Jefferson County Prison tonight. I just hope and pray that you'll sit back, kick off your slippers, relax, pour your glass of iced tea or cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to one of the most familiar passages in the New Testament, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And let's begin reading with the first verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know whether or where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, dear friends, listen to me. I'm telling you, the first time I ever heard that, I was about 6 years old. The next time I was 13 years old, the next time I was 17 years old, and it was at my mother, my dad, and my sister's funeral. It broke my heart. The scripture said, do not let your heart be troubled. Friends, my heart wasn't troubled. It was completely broke. I couldn't believe that this God of love that I'd heard so much about would take all my loved ones away from me. And there I am, homeless now. I'm in the Navy, 17. Didn't know right from wrong, my left hand from my right hand. But, oh, friends, listen. There came a time in my life, after I had met Jesus, my Savior, that the 14th chapter of John meant so much to me as it does today, and it should you too. Some of you, friends, have lost loved ones over the past month or two. You've attended her funerals, and your heart's been broken. You've wept till you couldn't weep anymore. Well, see, this text that really meets us in the tough times of life, it's probably the most familiar set of verses in the New Testament. Of course, I'll admit it's often associated with death and funerals. It's a message that reaches to every troubled heart. The text that takes us from trouble to triumph. Oh, friends, listen. There's not a night, there's not a Sunday night in this broadcast that I speak that I don't reach out and touch someone that's in trouble, someone's heart's broken, someone's lost their job, someone's lost their home. Well, it's practically with any sermon that any preacher preaches. If he preaches on the 14th chapter of Gospel of John, he's going to touch somebody's heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing tonight. It's a text that calls us to peace in a time of peril. You remember this dear lady down in Georgia who was taken in custody by this man that killed those people? And you know what? She was at peace because she was a Christian. And she told him that there was a purpose for his life, even though he messed it up. And, beloved, I tell those men and women in prison that there's hope for them, that the Lord has something for them to do. So they made a mistake. So what do? Do you sit on the pity pot and feel sorry for yourself? Or do you stand up, take Jesus' cross, and follow him? That's the secret to the successful life. When I say success, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about great holdings. I'm talking about success with Jesus. Oh, friends, when he comes into your heart. I was so troubled for so many years. Oh, friends, I used to sit in bars and cry like a baby. People thought I was goofy, but I was troubled. Instead of some of my come and say, "Hey, Cecil, let me help you," they knew I was a drunk, and that's as far as it goes. And there's many churches in this day and age that feels the same way. I don't want those drunks coming into my church. All churches are not guilty of that. No, they're not. Not all churches, just a few. Well, the disciples and Jesus in the upper room, they had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. A pleasant meal, the precious fellowship. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and Jesus revealed the tough times ahead. Well, what were some of the tough times? Well, Judas will betray him. Peter will deny him. Now, there are tough times ahead for all of us. You know, the Bible said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulations. Now, there's the namers and claimers, beloved, that tell you once you give your heart to Jesus, you don't have to worry about sickness. You don't have to worry about finances. That's a bunch of hogwash, beloved. The Bible said you will have tribulations. Just because you give your heart to Jesus does not mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory from here on out. The difference is the lost man has no one to go with him through it. And they don't have no peace. But when you have Jesus, no matter how tough it is, he will go with you through it. You remember when the disciples and Jesus was over in the islands and they were preaching, and when they come down to go somewhere in the boat, Jesus was tired and preaching all day, and he crawled up in the back of the ship, and he went to sleep. All of a sudden, there was a horrible, horrible storm came up. And let me tell you something. When you see 40 and 50-foot waves in a small boat, that's tough. And the boys, the disciples, they were all good fishermen. They were seamen. They knew how to run a ship. But boy, they realized they were in a whole heap of hurt. And they hollered, "Master, Master, wake up, we're sinking. Can't you do something?" But see, even Jesus was there in that storm with him. All he did was stood up, held up his head, and the storm stopped. Oh, friends, this Jesus is a powerful Jesus. He knows what he's doing. And that's why we urge people, come to Christ while there's still you still have time. You know, the Bible said that, you know, we don't always have enough time left. How many times are men over there in Iraq, they get up with their unit and they go out to go to work, and some idiot, some religious idiot comes by with a car bomb and blows them all to kingdom come. They had no intention of going out in eternity that day, but they did. See, that's why it says today is the salvation, not tomorrow, because we do not know what tomorrow bringeth forth. Well, most of us go through things that we didn't think that we could or we would, but we have to. Even then, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Listen, friends, we can be at peace in perilous times. We sure can. Remember, he said, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." You remember when they put Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace? Well, they sure thought they had those boys burnt to a crisp. But they looked and they said, "Hey, there's four people in there." That was Jesus in there with them. They didn't even get a blister. Why? because God wouldn't let him have a blister. He was with him in that fire. See, this is a text that calls us to trust in times of trouble. Believe is a life-changing word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But to believe is to exercise faith. Now you say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. I never was an alcoholic like you, and I didn't do a lot of dumb things. Why would I have to believe? Because he said you're going to have to if you're going to go to heaven. You say, well, I think you're wrong. Well, say what you want. Are you willing to gamble your eternity and to the end? When the Bible said, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is Christ, you willing to gamble that? Boy, not me. Believe and get your prayers answered, says Mark 23. You have to believe to have your prayers answered. You surely do. Now you say, but Cecil, I tell you what, I really don't believe. You know what I want you to do then? I want you to bow your head right now and say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Now you understand, the morning I was saved, I was agnostic. I believed that there was a God somewhere, sometime, somewhere. Don't know where he was, but I knew there was a God. I didn't know him personally. You can't know God until you come by Jesus. The Bible says you got to come by him in order. Now here's what it says. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. So, there they are. Faith that God exists, that he is a creator. Faith that God is in control. He said, believe also on me. Believe that Jesus came to save sinners. And that's exactly what he did, beloved. He came to save your soul. He came to save my soul. So you're out there wandering tonight. Maybe you're in a bar somewhere. Maybe you're driving your rig down the highway. One time, many years ago on another station, I got a call from a trucker. And he was on the road south. And he said, man, I like what you said about Jesus. Click. And hung up. Made me feel good. And all friends, I'm not here to tell you what a great guy I am, because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I am not anything special. No, I'm not. I am called of God to preach, but I'm not a special person. I don't create great, I mean, I don't have great wisdom. I don't know all there is in this book that I'm reading from tonight. I don't know all the things, don't know all the answers. Now we have scholars. And many scholars disagree on what they believe. There's one thing you better not disagree on. You better not disagree that Jesus is the Christ. We need to believe that Jesus died to pay for our sins. See, it was your sins and mine that put Jesus on the cross. He died to pay for our sins, that yet he himself was sinless. Can you believe that? My stars in the morning, he did no wrong. And yet he loved you and I so much that he gave his life on the cross. For God so loved the world that it gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Act on this belief. Trust Christ for salvation. Rest your future in his hands. Now, this is a text that calls us to look beyond life's difficulties. Said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, my stars. Hey, you know what, friends? I don't know what that mansion is, but I can blessed well tell you, it's a whole heap better than what we ever had on this earth. Can you imagine streets paved with gold? Men fight and kill for gold here. But that's just old gravel up there in heaven. And all trouble here is just temporary. And you know what Peter said? He said that trials are only for a season. You mean you're not going to have them all the rest of your life? But every Christian, from the time he's born again until the time he dies, is going to have trials once in a while. Sure is. Now, when these namer and claimers say you're not, they're not reading the Bible. But it says in Philippians 1:21-23, the best is yet to come. He said, I will go to prepare a place for you. see heaven awaits all believers. What a wonderful place heaven must be. Tonight, would you look beyond your heartaches to heaven? And he said, I will come again. The blessed hope of every believer. And I'm asking you, are you ready for his term, for his return? You know, friends, listen. Now, I want you to pray for me. I'm going to go to another specialist about my knees. I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars over the years trying to get relief in my knees. Someone said, well, why don't you go to a healer? I am going to the healer, Jesus Christ the Lord. But I believe in doctors too. I sure do. Sometimes, and when the doctors can't do the job, Jesus can do it for you. If it is the divine will of God. There's a purpose for suffering, dear friends. Yes, there is. The Bible said there was. See, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And I ask you this question tonight in love. Are you prepared for heaven? Now, you cannot, beloved, be prepared for heaven unless you've been born again. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, you're born once, that's a physical birth, but there has to be a spiritual birth which comes from heaven. When you look up and confess that you're a sinner and invite Christ in your heart, a transaction takes place. Jesus writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life and washes away your sins in his precious blood. That's it. That is the sum total. And he gives you eternal life, and he tells you you'll go to heaven with him when you die. I want to ask you tonight, you say to Cecil, look, I'm a church member. Really, I am, and I go to church. I've been going to church for years. I've even taught Sunday school. But, Cecil, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Well, here's the scripture. 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. He tells you you can know. His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that you've been born again. And if you'd like to, and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now, and you'd like to invite Jesus in your heart, and I want you to do me a favor. Don't you dare pray this prayer unless you mean it. It's a very powerful prayer. Don't play games with God, because it can get you in a lot of trouble. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done to you and to my loved ones and my family. Father, the best way I know tonight, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone and you call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. No, I won't. And I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I won't embarrass you. I don't care where you go to church, dear friends. I am concerned where you spend eternity. That phone number is 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
And without him I'd be enslaved. And without him my life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God.
Need to give you my mailing address. It is Mo Evangelistic Association, Inc., 9621 South Burberry Lane, B-U-R-B-E-R-R-I, Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado, 80129. Friends, listen, if you would like to help us with our radio time or with our prison ministries, we would really appreciate it. We're not beggars, not at all. If you pray about it, you do what the Lord says. And if he says, don't you give them a nickel, then don't you give this ministry a nickel. And I really mean that. Why? Because I want you to be obedient to God and not to me. A lot of preachers think that just because they're the only ones left, well, we're not the only preacher in the world. There's a lot of wonderful preachers on the broadcast, a lot on different radio broadcasts, a lot of wonderful preachers on television. But listen, friends, that today if we depend upon our churches to win the lost, we're in a whole heap of trouble. The other day now at Jefferson County, in the three services we had, there was 35 men and women accepted Christ. Now, we don't see that in churches anymore. Of course, after all, these are people who are in trouble, and they see their needs. See, in church sometimes we get so spiritually fat. We don't think there's anyone left to worry about. Well, he told us to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. At 80 years old, I should want to retire. Hog fat. No siree. I do not want to retire. I want to keep going until Jesus takes me home. That's the way I operate. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, we want to take this time to thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in radio for 31 years here in Colorado. We've seen many people saved. We've seen many people helped, not because of us, but because of your wonderful Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we pray that we'll never get tired of telling the good news of salvation, not how great our preacher is or how great our church is, or what a great organist, or what a great choir, but what a great Savior. Anyone that would deliberately take his life and lay it down that we might have life, we need to worship him. We need to praise him. We need to thank him. Father, I know America's in a mess tonight, and there's Democrats and the Republicans are fussing and fighting, they got this Social Security agenda, all these things. And the world hates America. It's because they're jealous, Lord. They're jealous of what America's done. This is the greatest land in the whole world. Lord, I wouldn't trade our American flag. And then sometimes, Lord, I hear people bad-mouthing our servicemen and women overseas who made it possible for them to even criticize them. They're fighting for the freedom of our land. Lord, I know I only spent 4 years in the Navy in World War II, but we helped make this a free land. I had shipmates that gave their life, and many, many Marines gave their life on Okinawa when we landed there Easter Sunday morning. Hundreds of them, thousands of them died. because of this flag. God bless America. God send a great spiritual revival through our land, through our prisons, through our churches, and through our individual hearts. Father, I do pray that you'll continue to bless our ministry. Speak to hearts of people who should support this ministry. And for those who don't, we're not mad at them. They can sure pray for us. Now, Lord, I just pray that you'll give all of our listeners a good night's rest. Give us a good day tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, this doctor will be able to do great things for my knees. I ask these things in Jesus' name because I love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.